to Sportscast, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and on our Facebook. We have a new Facebook page. Go to Sportscast One, search for Sportscast One, and you'll find it. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Hit subscribe, and please leave a 5 stars if you can. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app for iPhone. Go to the App Store and get Insta Bible. Create verses and pictures, and you can share it to the world. Breaking news. Tom Brady has said on his social media that he will leave the New England Patriots. In a tweet and also on Instagram. Joining us today is our first-time guest. He's a YouTuber, also a Twitter light. His username is Engraven Vids, and his name is also Justin. Justin, welcome to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on, man.
So, Justin, obviously, like the breaking news today with Tom Brady leaving the Patriots, of course, there's been a lot of rumors since last August when we found out about him putting his house on sale, him cleaning out his locker room after the last game against the Titans. Were you surprised with this announcement?
Yes and no. I think just as football fans, we obviously, I mean, they had only been talking about it all year, but we obviously had we knew that there was a possibility that it could go down, like Brady could actually leave the Patriots. But at the same time, I was thinking like, I don't know, man. I know, yeah, he sold his house and whatnot, and I think that they may have been looking in houses in like LA or something, and they're looking at a different school systems in another state, I think in like Tennessee or something. But I was still like in the back of my mind, like that's Tom Brady and the Patriots. That'd be really weird if that relationship ends. But here we are now. So it's like surprising and not surprising at the same time. And now that it's it was one of those things where, yeah, you can sort of like speculate on it and you can have all these different clues that point towards it. But it's still sort of a wake up call when you actually get an official announcement with Brady saying bye to Pats Nation. So, yeah, I guess it was more of a shocker.
Yeah, Brady announced in his Twitter, also Instagram, that although my football journey will take me elsewhere, I appreciate everything that we have achieved and am grateful for our incredible team accomplishments. Justin, right now, so far, the leading contender is the Buccaneers. Now I'm hearing the Chargers also might be offering about $30 million, I believe. Where do you think he'll end up?
If he goes to the Bucs, you got Mike Evans. I think Deshaun Jackson is still there. But if he goes to the Chargers, you get Keenan Allen. I think they franchise tag Hunter Henry. But their offensive line is in shambles. I would have to say Chargers. Because I did just see something that said that the Chargers, they play the Patriots this year. So that can be a little extra fuel to the fire. You know that's going to be a primetime game. If he does end up going there, they're going to put that game on primetime like that. So if I had to pick one, I would say the Chargers. A younger team, a more versatile team, a team that's I think they're a little bit closer than the Buccaneers to being like ready. Because they have, especially with Derwin James, hopefully he can stay healthy. And hopefully all the Chargers can stay healthy because they've been battling big injuries to big-time players for years. But maybe Brady will have some secret formula to staying healthy that he can share with them. So I would say the Chargers, just because of the way the team is structured and also because of the payback factor. Let me show that Brady versus Belichick factor, since he can get that there and not with the Bucs.
Obviously, the Chargers let go of Phillip Rivers a couple months ago, and that left an open spot. There was also rumors that the Chargers will keep with Tyrod Taylor. They have been quiet, you know, this past month. It feels more like the Chargers. Tampa Bay looks sexy with Mike Evans, but the Chargers with a new stadium. Brady is also a California boy. Obviously, he's more of a Silicon up in San Francisco guy, but obviously the Niners have not shown. They've not were shown interest, but they pulled away this past week. That is a question mark. But I do agree. I think the Chargers have has always been a favorite. And I think Brady's also looking for a post-career move, which I think going into movie production, which he started a movie production, I think, a week ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so perfect for L.A.
It has to be L.A. Tampa, there's not much going on with movies and film as far as I know. There's a question from the comments. Now that Brady is gone, do you think Bill Belichick will be staying in New England for long? Or, like, how long will Belichick stay in New England?
That is a really good question. I had never thought about that. I really don't know. Because I know Josh McDaniels is sort of like waiting in the wings to take over once Belichick steps down and hands him the keys to the kingdom. But I think it depends. I think it may depend on how quickly he can reach a certain level of success again. Because, I mean, in my opinion, I think that obviously Brady is very big part of everything that the Patriots did because he was the quarterback. But I do think that Belichick was a bigger part of the success than one Tom Brady. Because we got to see Belichick without Brady a few times. We never got to see Brady without Belichick. So we'll get a lot of those questions answered. But I think Bill Belichick's long-term, his tenure with the Patriots depends on the level, how quickly he can reach a certain level of success, if he can maintain success. And I think if it gets to a point where it's like, man, maybe I did really need Brady, then I think maybe he's like, okay, you know what, Josh McDaniels, all yours.
You think the relationship with Belichick and Brady was strained towards the end, or do you think it had nothing to do with it?
Oh, I think it definitely was. I think it definitely was because, you know, that because Belichick, he is more, he's very cutthroat. And that's why, that's a big reason part of his business, his team, his franchise has been super successful, because he is willing to get rid of somebody who a lot of people will consider great. And this is not just applying to Tom Brady. He wanted to get rid of Rob Gronkowski. He wanted to get rid of Tom Brady. He got rid of Chandler Jones. He got rid of Richard C. He got rid of so many different players that were still either in their prime or still had plenty of good years left. But he wanted to get rid of them early rather than later. And his willingness to do that, it can rub some people the wrong way. And if you were one of those players, like that's like I use being at a job, for example. If you're at a job, and you know your boss wanted to get rid of you. Your boss has gotten rid of several of your former employees and coworkers and stuff before, but they wanted to get rid of you. And you knew they wanted to get rid of you to bring in somebody else to take your place, but the deal didn't go down. And the owner of the company was like, oh, no, we're not going to get rid of him. We'll get rid of the other guy instead. They're going to keep him. So you knowing that in the back of your mind, like, man, my boss really wanted to get me up out of here? Oh, I don't like that. So I think it's the same way with Brady and Belichick. This, like you said, it sort of put a strain on their relationship.
I really agree with you. I've always heard Belichick is not emotionally attached to his players. Mm-hmm. He's really into risk to get rid of them. And, of course, that whole fiasco with Garoppolo, just like you were saying, Belichick was signaling, hey, I'm ready to get rid of Brady and put in Garoppolo. That might have been the start of something. Of course, they won like one or two Super Bowls after that whole fiasco. Kraft said to ESPN this morning, I believe it was on Get Up, he said, Tommy Brady, he initiated contact last night and came over. We had a positive, respectful discussion. It's not the way I want it to end, but I want him to do what is in his best personal interest. After 20 years with us, he has earned that right. I love him like a son. Like you were saying, I think Kraft, the owner, loved him. But, you know, Brady had the opportunity to leave. The relationship with Belichick is strained. So, Justin, can the Patriots and Belichick win without Brady?
I think so. I think they will be able to. Because, I mean, we've seen it. We haven't seen it at the highest level because we haven't got an opportunity to see it at the highest level. We haven't got an opportunity to see it in the playoffs because the closest that they came to get into the playoffs without when Bernard Pollard was on the Chiefs and he took out Brady for the season when he hit him a little bit low. And that's when Matt Castle took over and they went 11-5. But I think it was the Jets went 11-5 and somebody else went 11-5 too. So the Patriots, they weren't able to get into the playoffs because everybody's record was so good on the AFC side. So that we didn't get to see Belichick in the playoffs without Brady. But we've seen Matt Castle, we've seen Jimmy Garoppolo, we've seen Jacoby Brissett, we've seen Brian Hoyer on there a little bit, but we've seen Mallett, but we've seen him flip these quarterbacks. We've seen him take these different quarterbacks and have some success with them in the regular season without a Brady. And then when Brady comes back, those quarterbacks end up getting traded to other teams. And then when they go to these other teams, most of them are usually not so hot. So that just shows me that Belichick really, he really, like, they call some coaches QB whispers. But Belichick, like, really knows how to get the most out of a QB. And I think he could definitely have some success without Brady. And I think they can win without Brady. So I just think he's waiting on being given the opportunity.
Currently, right now, in the quarterback bench for the Patriots, they have Jarrett Stidham and Cody Kessler. In the pecking order, Jarrett Stidham is the leading starting quarterback. Do you think this is enough, or do you think they'll probably draft a quarterback in this year's draft?
I think whether it's through the draft, whether it's free agency, I don't think they'll stick with those guys. I mean, sometimes you never know. You never know because, again, Jimmy Garoppolo, who really knew who that was, Jacoby Brissett, and they made it work with those guys. So you never know, but I still think they'll add more firepower.
Obviously not just the draft. There are some few quarterbacks out there, like Philip Rivers, another experienced quarterback at 37. And then you do have, I believe, could be a possibility James Winston, or as well the quarterback for the Saints, the backup quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater is also available. Do those names kind of resonate for you, or do you think they want to go younger? I know.
Well, Jameis Winston, I don't see Jameis Winston as a Patriot. You never, nah, yeah, I don't see him. Teddy Bridgewater, possibly, but I don't know. I really don't know what type of direction that I see them going in, simply because they haven't been in this position before. I mean, Andy Dalton is out there; he's available via trade. It could be an option. I would like Teddy Bridgewater for them, but I don't think they would be that invested in Teddy Bridgewater, especially for the long term. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, with the
Because this is
Patriots,
new territory for New England.
yeah, new territory, but as well, they're a confident organization. If I see them winning a championship without Brady, with any quarterback, Bridgewater, Stidham, I possibly can see them winning it. But as well, they do need some receivers and also some other weapons. So we'll definitely eye on that. Of course, Belichick is 67 years old. He's, up there in age, so we'll see how long he has left in the pipeline. That's it for our and if you need any more news about Tom Brady, go to thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. We'll keep you up to date with Patriots news. So, Justin, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know we started the show with a hard news segment. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the channel.
Yeah, man. My channel, the Sengraven Viz, is Team Keep It Clean. It's family friendly content that anybody can listen to, young, old, male, female, whatever. And it's just something for everybody. I'm a huge, huge, huge Ravens fan. But we talk about every NFL team. We talk about the latest and greatest, what's going on with the NFL. It's mostly we talk about Ravens stuff, but it's something on there for everybody. And if you know a lot about football, it's stuff for you. And if you don't know much about football, you could possibly even learn about it. So It's just a little bit of something for everybody. Something that everybody can enjoy, everybody can listen to, and you can listen to it out loud because you don't have to worry about any cursing or any derogatory language or anything like that. It's a channel for everybody. So I appreciate y'all even having me on here.
Absolutely, amen. So how did you start this channel? What provoked you? What was the story?
I used to have a my channel used to be centered around gaming, the Madden game, but I was obviously a big Ravens fan, and I love talking about the Ravens, like with my friends and stuff. So I was like, you know what? Let me just one day after a game, just randomly, I was like, you know what? Let me go on YouTube and talk about how I felt about the game. So I decided to do that, did it, live streamed it, loved it. Then I started doing it weekly, and I would do it after every Ravens game. And then I saw that I enjoyed talking about football more than a lot more than playing the actual football game, the Madden franchise series. So my channel sort of transitioned to from a Madden channel to just talking about the Ravens, and then talking about just NFL period. And then that allowed me to have a lot more fun with it, a whole lot of fun with it. And so then, and that would be something that I was doing on the side. And I was working a full-time job at the same time. But even while I was working that full-time job, I would like go on breaks, whether it be my lunch break or whether I would just make my own break. And I would, if something happened in the NFL or something happened with the Ravens and whatnot, I would come out, do a video on it, then go back to work. And then one day about 1.5 years ago, because it was August of 2018, I believe. In August of 2018, I was going to work. In April, I had actually got a promotion at my job, and I was going to work. Came into work, and my entire department got laid off. It was about 12 to 14 of us. Just came in, everything was going good. We weren't having any problems, anything. Business was great. Came in, got laid off. And then it was like, wow, okay. But I was like, you know what? I always say timing is everything. So I said, man, this happened to me in August. Football season starts in September. So you know what? I'm gonna try to do this thing full time. And been doing it full time ever since. So it's been working out, man.
I've noticed you got 23,000 subscribers, and of course, sometimes with the new with like the whole new internet age, you're able to make a career out of YouTube or out of podcasting or just get involved in the social media, causing a footprint. How much have you noticed? I mean, obviously, Ravens is definitely a huge fan block. How big of a base are the Ravens? I know, I mean. Would you say they're as big as the Steelers, but how big is the footprint of them?
No, it's definitely not on a level of like a Steelers or Cowboys or Giants or Jets, because those franchises, they've been around for a very, very, very long time. So you can see it when if you go to different places, if you go to like different stores around the country or whatever, you see a lot of those guys, their memorabilia, their jerseys and stuff. But for Raven stuff, you wouldn't really see it too much. Now this year, things have changed with Lamar Jackson coming on the scene and really making a big impact on the NFL. That really started spreading Ravens fans and bringing a lot more Ravens fans because there were a lot of Lamar Jackson fans. But with Ravens, the fan base is growing, and they definitely make their mark wherever they go. Especially when like they come down here to Miami for Dolphins games, they absolutely take over big time. And it's like, wow, I didn't even realize there's so many people here. But a lot of people travel for those Miami games because a lot of them want to get out of Maryland from that cold weather. But so it's not cr a crazy big fan base, but it is one that's growing. It's not competing with like those, like I said, like the Steelers, Giants, Cowboys. It's not competing with those yet. But the level of loyalty. I mean, you can say that level of loyalty with any fan base, because you got great fans, you got bad fans, you got fair weather fans, you got bandwagon fans, you got a little bit of everything. But as far as the base, the size of the base, it's not on those levels yet, but it is definitely pretty big though.
Ravens fans do make noise, but also the Ravens organization has made noise in this free agency period or this business period of the NFL. The first big move was Calais Campbell was traded to the Ravens. It was agreed to in principle. It will send the team a fifth-round selection in the upcoming 2020 NFL draft for Jacksonville. What are your thoughts about this move, Campbell going to the Ravens?
Oh, I love it. I was ecstatic over it. I loved it because it was something that gave the Ravens what they need. They need somebody that can set the edge, and they need somebody that can provide interior pressure and a consistent pass rush, because that's absolutely what we did not have. We didn't have people that could set the edge, and we didn't have people that could really provide that interior, that consistent interior pass rush. So when they made that move, and it was just for a fifth-round pick. I know Jacksonville, they pretty much like having a fire sale, but still a fifth-round pick. That just lets me know how desperate Jacksonville was to get rid of Calais Campbell, and how smart Ravens were to take advantage of Jacksonville's desperation. So it's a great move. He's a great player. And from every single Jacksonville fan that I've talked to about it, they say that he's a great person as well. And he's one of their favorite people that was on the team, not just for his play on the field, but how he was off the field as well. He said he was a leader. I know he was a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So he can bring a lot more than just a good player to the Ravens. He can provide leadership as well. So I'm super excited for the move.
Yeah, one of the philosophies of the Ravens, or the biggest philosophy, is defense. And bringing a great defensive end, also a leader in the locker room, will provide that stamp for the Ravens. Another move the Ravens did, that they agreed to trade Hayden Hurst to the Falcons. What are your thoughts about that?
That one, it was sort of a bittersweet thing, because I would have preferred that the Ravens kept all three tight ends, but with Hayden Hurst, he wasn't a big part of the offense, simply because the timing, his timing, he was supposed to be the number one tight end on the team, and he was the number one tight end on the team when he was drafted, but then he got hurt, and when he got hurt, that Mark Andrews, he stepped up. And then Nick Boyle, of course, he continued to step up. And then when Hayden Hurst came back, he kind of found himself sort of out of the loop and never really got that traction going again since Mark Andrews had really – he started to take off at the end of two seasons ago, and then certainly last year he became one of the top tight ends in the league. So that made Hayden Hurst expendable. And with Hayden Hurst being expendable and him voicing that he wanted more of a role in the offense, I guess Ravens figured, you know what, while he still has a good value, let's trade him while he still has good value and get something for him rather than waiting another season and his value possibly diminishing. Because if he would have been in the offense for one more season, then it's a high possibility that his production it would have still been low. He's a very, very good player, but it's a possibility that his production still would have been really low, and teams wouldn't have valued him as much. And he's older too. He's I believe he's like 27 now, because he was drafted. He was like a 25-year-old rookie. And you know, usually rookies are like 22, 23. Because I know he stepped away from football, played baseball for a little while, then came back to football. So, just his value. I think it was a smart trade. And again, I was bittersweet about it because I would have rather kept all three. But I completely understood. I understand the business side of football, so you got to get what you can while you can still get it.
Going on this track with receivers, there's been talk that Lamar Jackson needs more weapons. Justin, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think the Ravens have those plans either for the draft or in the free agency market? Do you think they're going to get one more weapon?
I'm thinking they'll go young. I don't know right now, though. Because I think they'll definitely get weapons in the draft. But because they've been beefing up the defense, obviously. Because they got Calais Campbell, Michael Brockers. With the weapon, but who's out there? Is it got Emmanuel Sanders, Robbie Anderson? There's a few out there. They may make a shocking move, one of those surprise moves. We'll see. But I'm thinking more along the lines they go young. They get those weapons through the draft. and they try to have the receivers, whatever weapons they get, grow with Lamar. So I think they go young draft.
What do you think is missing? Obviously, you could say receivers, but what spots you like to see strengthened or filled?
The Ravens passing game, and the involvement of the wide receivers in the passing game. That is the biggest thing. Because I know a lot of people talked about, oh, Ravens, they can't play from behind, blah, blah, blah. And the Ravens, I mean, they didn't help that whole argument with what they did in that Titans game, in the playoffs. But I think the biggest reason for that was because they didn't have a legitimate wide receiver. They didn't have another one. I mean, Hollywood was the only one. And if Hollywood is your best wide receiver, and he was a rookie that was playing at like 60, 70% since he was hurt all last season, that's a good thing. So they need a legitimate 1-2 punch at receiver. They need two legitimate receivers that people will really respect and really fear, like, oh man, this guy, he could beat me for 40 on this play. Oh, he could take it the distance on this play. You need somebody that they respect. So that would be the biggest needs I see for the Ravens as of this moment. Another legitimate receiver that opponents respect and that can put some fear in them. And also just Lamar Jackson seeing the entire field better. Because he makes some smart decisions, but he's just got to go through all his progressions better. Because last year, it was a lot of, okay, he's looking at Hollywood, okay, he's looking at Mark Andrews, and that's it. He wouldn't really go to the other options. And I don't know if it was because he just didn't trust the other options, because I mean, he obviously trusted Hollywood and obviously trusted Mark Andrews, or he just simply didn't even try to look for them. But he's got to work on seeing the entire field better and going through all of his progressions better. So those would be the two things I say the Ravens need to work on the most this offseason.
Do you think the Ravens will repeat that AFC North, like they'll win the AFC North, they'll have a great regular season? Do you think they'll have another fantastic season and a explosive season from Lamar Jackson?
I think they should. I think his interceptions are gonna go up a little bit this season. And I mean, they were all the way down. He only threw six last year, so it would be kind of hard not to go up from that. I mean, I would hope they don't, but I mean, just to be realistic about it, I think his interceptions are gonna go up, but at the same time, I think his touchdowns are gonna go up too, because I do expect the offense to expand. Because last year it was a lot of running, and I expect this to still be a lot of running, but I do expect the passing game to be even more open this year. So I do expect them to have a good season. Will it be able to be as good as last season? I would love for it to be. I don't expect it to be because, like, how do you follow up 14-2? Like, that's ooh, that would be really, really tough. So I feel like it's almost the only way to go from there, which is pretty much at the top, the only way to go is down. So I'm thinking like maybe 11-5, 12-4. Hopefully they can do as good or even better than 14-2 and get that number one seed again. But my biggest thing with them, I'm not even necessarily worried about their regular season record. I just want them to get in the playoffs and get over that hump of not winning in the playoffs, because that's been the biggest issue with the Ravens the past 2 years. They make it in, but when they get in, they fail. So they need to that's the biggest thing with me about them, that the playoffs. So
Now
if they can fix
possibly,
that, I'm with them.
which now possibly now with the Patriots, I mean, they could make it to the playoffs, but they might not be a favorite as much as they were in years prior. Do you think other NFL clubs will figure out Lamar Jackson?
No, because that has been, I know that was a big question going into last season, because a lot of people were like, oh, well, the only reason he had all that success running and all that success just as a team was because NFL teams didn't have any tape on him. So then what happened? A lot of people say, okay, we have 8 games worth of tape on him now. So going into the 2019 season, he's going to get figured out. He's not going to be able to do all that stuff. What does he do? He does all that stuff and even more. Throws for 36 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, runs for over 1,000 yards. The team goes 14-2. So now, some people are going to try to run that again. Like, oh, wait, well, now we have 16 games on him as a starter from last season, and plus the 8 games from the previous season. So now we got even more film on him. So we're really going to figure him out this year. So I don't see it happening. Teams are going to try to contain him, but that's why I say that the offense just has to open up, because you can. What Lamar was doing a lot of last year, a lot of passes were in the middle of the field. So what the Ravens need to do, that's why I say they need to really expand that offense, because if they expand the offense, they'll have even more options. When people counter something, and when people take away the middle of the field, okay, well, let's throw it to the outside of the field. Let's throw it outside the numbers so we can really get them a run for their money. So as long as the Ravens do that, and they keep on allowing the offense to grow, the people are not gonna figure out Lamar Jackson, because it's like with all these different quarterbacks. Like, have people figured out the Ben Roethlisberger? Have they figured out a Tom Brady? Have they figured out a well? I mean, maybe people will say that they figured out a Phillip Rivers, but it's a lot of quarterbacks that have been around for a while, and nobody talks about them being figured out. But I know with Lamar, people bring it up because he's a quarterback that can run. A lot of people still don't respect his arm yet. So I think it's just a matter of them continuing to expand that offense, and they'll be just fine.
And finally, like the biggest news for the Ravens yesterday, they signed former Rams defensive tackle Michael Brockers. Justin, was that a good signing?
Oh, it was a great signing. Now the money part of it, I gotta see how the cap hit is and whatnot. But I think it was a really, really good signing, because it's exactly, again, what the Ravens need. Their biggest problem last season, it was the pass rush. The pass rush setting the edge, bringing pressure. And one of the biggest problems with them bringing pressure was that they couldn't just rush four and bring pressure, because if they just rushed four, nobody was getting there. Nobody was getting to the quarterback. The quarterback would have all day. And of course, I mean, you're not going to just be rushing for every single play or every single passing play, but you do want to have the option to where you can have everybody covered, and you can just rush for and you can get a quarterback hit or get a sack, get a strip sack, get a whatever, get that pressure on the quarterback so he's not comfortable. And Ravens just last year, they just could not do that. They couldn't do it for anything. So with them getting a Michael Brocker, still having a Brandon Williams, and getting a Calais Campbell, and still having Matt Judon for now, I think that's going to change really soon. But they have significantly upgraded their defensive line, and they got guys that can get pressure. So with the Michael Brockers move, it was a really, really good one. Really, really good one for the team. And for the other players on the team too, because they already have a really good secondary, and the secondary that they can cover for longer, so that'll allow the pass rushers to be able to get back there. So it just works hand in hand, man. The pass rush works with the secondary. Secondary works with the pass rush, and they can help each other out. And it's another good signing.
Yeah, with the signing of Brockers and Calais Campbell, it feels like a 2000 Ravens defense. Do you feel the same?
Oof. I don't know about all that.
That's a tough to live up to, I know.
That's some high praise, and I don't think any I don't think any defense nowadays will be able to be the 2000 Ravens defense. But at the same time, defenses today that can be really good, they still deserve a high level of respect. Reason I say that is because of the rules, the way that the rules are nowadays. The rule changes benefit the offense heavily, heavily. And with the rule changes, with them benefiting the offense, and I mean, that's what the business is about. Roger Goodell and company, NFL wants teams scoring more points. That's why they moved the ball from the 20 to the 25. That's why they changed the face mask rule some years ago to where it used to be, I think it used to be between like a 5 yard and a 15 yard penalty. I forgot like what the one was before, but now it's just 15 yards. That's why with the illegal contact, I mean, they just ooh, and all these defensive pass interference, that on pass interference, it's a mess. But all the rules, they benefit the offense. So if a defense can maintain a high level of success in this day and age, that's a beautiful thing. So while I don't think they will be able to be compared to the 2000 Ravens, it's still a good they still would deserve high praise for being able to be a successful defense these days.
Ravens are definitely making moves, and just like what Justin said, can they win a playoff game? It feels like any team they face in the playoffs, they lose. So they got to win that playoff game, get over the hump. Is it beating the Titans? Can they have the formula to beat them? Do they have the formula to beat the Chiefs? Those are the question marks. But they do have a good quarterback. They need the, I mean, the coaching has the experience. They do have the experience, but they need to get over that hump. Even if it's home field advantage. So, which Ravens got last year, and they got the year prior with the Chargers. So we'll see what happens. Well, Justin, what is the best way to reach you online?
I mean, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, everything is Ingraven Vids, all one word. So that's it.
There you
Appreciate
go.
you again having me on. Thank you for that,
No,
man.
no problem. And of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be giving you guys live updates of what's happening in the NFL free agency trades, and of course, draft order. A lot of mock-ups I've been, speculating around. So we'll see, where Justin Herbert's going, where Tua's going, and things like that. But anyways, reach us at. And Justin, really appreciate you on. Hopefully, we'll have you back on to talk a little bit more about the Ravens during the season.
Hey, that's fine. Sounds good, man.
And
Appreciate it.
anyways, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thank you.